CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Our guest today is Chuck Gallagher, an expert on business ethics and lecturer. I'm Cassandra from CBS Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ and Chuck.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So before the break occurred, Chuck was telling an unbelievable story that I wanted him to continue. But the gist of it was is that Chuck Gallagher, our current guest, was caught in a Ponzi scheme. He owed $700,000 back to his client, and he met with a friend of his from church, and found that the person who was at church had decided that he wanted to buy his house, the house that Chuck was about to buy a new house, and his friend said, "Yes, I'd like to buy that house, and I'd like to buy your other house." So how does this all fit together? Chuck, I totally botched up that story.
Well,
can
you
retell it in a more linear way?
Well, no, you didn't botch it. You really hit on the salient points. I mean, the truth was my wife and I were constructing a house, which was the $600,000 house, and we lived in a $250,000 house. And I was sitting there at the time of having to reveal the truth about my actions, which was I stole money from people, which made me a liar and a thief. And I was looking at this mountain of debt and responsibility, and I'd lost my job and certainly lost my license as a CPA. And, you know, the world was crashing around me in terms of my identity. I'm unemployed. And you're right. This man from the church, which was the weird part, whips out a set of plans that he and his wife were thinking about building, and it was 95% of what my wife and I had literally under construction. And when he took that burden off of our shoulders, it was divine. And then his son bought the other house, the house that we were living in, and bought it for appraised price, and again, that was divine. And what it helped me understand was, once I removed the barrier being the lying and the theft, once I removed that barrier, then I had the ability. It wasn't that it just a red carpet rolled out. That is certainly not the truth. But I had the ability then to step into, we'll call it grace, and understand that if I am in the flow of spirit, positive things can take place. And I guess, CJ, the other thing that I will add to this, and, you know, it's part of how people can say, well, you know, is there such a thing as a miracle? I believe there is. Once the federal government decided they wanted to prosecute me, and this is after I had made restitution to the people I had stolen money from, I made restitution with the help of family and friends. Doesn't make what I did right, but ultimately the people that I defrauded and victimized were at least made financially whole. I couldn't replace the trust, of course. But the federal government wanted to prosecute me. Well, in order to prosecute me, that would send me to prison, but I had legitimately borrowed money from the bank to make restitution because there was no investigation. So I asked through my attorney, the federal prosecutor, to delay prosecution, so I could pay the bank back. Otherwise, it would be another victim. And I was told categorically no. In November of 1991, categorically no, not happening. And by the end of 91, I likely would be in federal prison. And I made a trip to Raleigh, North Carolina, where at the time I was working. And that afternoon at 4:50, I got a call from my attorney. And he said, "Are you near a fax machine?" And I said, "Yes." Now, at 10 o'clock that morning, I was told emphatically no, there was no deferred prosecution. I would be spending time in jail likely before the end of the year. At 4:50, he calls me and he said, "Are you near a fax machine?" And I said, "Well, I can be." He said, "I've got a 14-page document that defers your prosecution for 3 years.
Whoa.
And I asked him, I said, "Okay, explain that to me. How was it that at 10 o'clock this morning, the answer was emphatically no?" And at 4:50 this afternoon, you've got 14 pages of typed document you're faxing to me. And my attorney's response was, I have no clue. But get it, read it, and sign it if you don't want to go to jail by the end of 1991.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, what are you making out of all of this? Because, I mean, your mind must have been spinning. Were you doing massive amounts of prayer? I mean, what happened? How do you think this happened?
That's a really good question, and I'm not going to tell you that I'm smart enough to know.
Yeah.
I feel like that we all come into this life for a reason, and I really don't believe there are mistakes. I believe there are challenges that we face that help mold us into the people that we become or can become, and we just have to get out of our own way.
Mm-hmm.
And as hard as I fought, and I promise you, I did fight hard to stay in my own way because I wanted to be Mr. Man in control. When I got out of my own way, I found that it was like a clear pathway, and all I had to do was follow the path and step out on faith and trust to believe that eventually everything would be for good.
Okay, so you got out of your way, and you let Spirit lead, and Spirit, you know, gave you a 3-year deferral. He paid half your allowed you to get restitution and pay off the $700,000 that you owed. What do you mean by getting out of the way and letting Spirit take the way? What did that mean?
The best way I can put it is this. I've seen a lot of people, and I think as human beings, we like to feel that we're in control. That we can, by our choices, control and create outcomes. And so sometimes we really try to contrive, create, manipulate outcomes. And so to me, when you get out of your own way, just let it go. I will tell you, I will be the first to admit to you, I did not want to go to prison. I was thrilled to get a 3-year window of opportunity. Frankly, I was hoping they'd forget it. I'm thinking to myself, gosh, I've lived 3 years. I've been an upstanding citizen. I haven't done anything wrong. No traffic tickets. Golly gee, I've even paid people back. Maybe they'll just wink and let it go. Or at worst, give me probation.
Right.
But I stood before a judge who sentenced me to an active prison sentence, and I thought it sucked.
How many years did you spend? It was the best thing
that ever happened to me.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, how many years were you in prison, and why was it the best thing that ever happened to you?
Well, I was sentenced to 18 months active and 3 years probation, and walking into prison, after the first 5 minutes, I became a number, 11-642-058. Everything that defined who I was stripped. It's like being stripped naked and not having an identity, which meant...
Whoa.
That I had to find out who Chuck Gallagher really was. And as long as I had all of the external opportunities to surround myself with, to control, so to speak, well, then I'd use those to help define me. Prison took that away. So while it was an unpleasant experience, it was probably the only experience that I could imagine that would put me in a place where I could really find out, who is it to me? What does it really mean to be Chuck Gallagher? Who am I outside of all of the other things, the name, the business, the titles, the things that define you?
You know, the Hare Krishnas and some other cults, they have the people who are followers of those cults, they get stripped of their name. So let's say my name was, you know, Elizabeth. My now name is Raggedy. Like, my name just changes, okay? And then so you're stripped of your basic identity, your name, and you're required to wear an orange outfit the entire time. And the whole purpose of that spiritual journey, when you decide to follow a guru, is that you get into, you strip your name, you strip all of those things that you're wedded to, all those attachments, so that you can get stripped down to the basic core of who you are and live with whatever that is. And so what I think is so fascinating, and you do that because you're imprisoned by your mind, right? So this is a way for you to let go of your attachment to your mind. But you literally were put in prison and got the same spiritual aha I think that's fascinating. All right. We have Chuck Gallagher, author of Second Chances, Transforming Adversity into Opportunity. We're going to be right back talking about making ethical decisions. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.